नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय दद्यन् अर्थवन् त्वस्त्रे धन्यर्तवनस्त्वस्त्रे वार्मवेद्यं मदात्मकम् वार्मवेद्यं मदात्मकम् विश्वरूपाय यत्प्रदत् विश्वरूपाय यत्प्रदत् त्वस्तयत्वं अधस्ततः त्वस्तयत्वं अधस्ततः दद्यानार्त्यवनस्तत्वस्त्रे. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Danyacha's invincible protective covering, known as the Narayan Kavacha, was given to Twasta, who delivered it to his son Vishwarup, from whom you have received it. Because of this Narayan Kavacha, Tadachi's body is now very strong. You should therefore beg him for his body. No purport. Text number 54. Yasmabayam yachito, yasmabayam yachito swabayam dharman yanagnagni dasyati tatastair adyuram streto vishwakarma vinirmitaha yena vritya shiro harta mateja upabrimhitaha. Translation. When the Aswini Kumaras begged for Dadachi's body on your behalf, he will surely give it because of his affection. Do not doubt this, for Dadacha is very experienced in religious understanding. When Dadachan awards you his body, Vishwakarma will prepare a thunderbolt from his bones. This thunderbolt will certainly kill Vritasura because it will be invested with my power. Text number 55. Tasman vinnihate yudhyam tejoswad yudhya sampayadaha bhuyam prapyasyata badram vo nahim santi namadparam. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When Vritasura is killed because of my spiritual strength, you will regain your strength, weapons, and wealth. Thus there will be all good fortune for you and all. Although Vritasura can destroy all the three worlds, do not fear that he will harm you. He is also a devotee and will never be envious of you. Purport. A devotee of the Lord is never envious of anyone. What to speak of other devotees? As revealed later, Vritasura was also a devotee. Therefore, he was not expected to be envious of the demigods. Indeed, of his own accord, he would try to benefit the demigods. A devotee does not hesitate to give up his own body for a better cause. Chanaka Pandit said, San nimite vadam tyago vinise nihata sati. After all of one's material possessions, including his body, will be destroyed in due course of time. Therefore, if this body and other possessions can be utilized for a better cause, a devotee never hesitates to give up even his own body. Because Lord Vishnu wanted to save the demigods, Vritasura, even though able to swallow the three worlds, would agree to be killed by the demigods. For a devotee, there is no difference between living and dying, because in this life, a devotee engages in devotional service, and after giving up his body, he engages in the same service in the spiritual world. His devotional service is never hindered. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports to the ninth chapter, sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Appearance of the Demon Vritasura. There's this one story Prabhupada used to say. This story actually was not story, but message. It was spoken by his spiritual master, his divine grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. One man was giving out blessings. He had the power to bless, and he blessed four types of persons. For the prince was the first, the materialist, the one who has a lot of material facility and positions to enjoy even more, unlimitedly. He said, "You should live forever. Don't die. This is my blessing." He said, the next was the brahmachari. He said, "You're performing so many austerities, sleeping on the floor, eating plain, simple food, working very hard. So you should die immediately. Because in this way you'll get the results of all your benefits and austerities." The third was the sage, the holy man, the pure devotee. He said, "My blessing to you is my blessing to you is you can either live or die. Because living, you're serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotion, and when you die, you will continue to do the same. There's no difference." And for the last category, the sinful materialist, the butcher. "Don't live, don't die. Because you're living, your life is hell, and when you die, you will also go to hell. Don't live, don't die." For the prince, he's enjoying, supposedly, material opulence, wealth, position, power, facilities. He has all benefits materially. But when he dies, he will go to hell. So my benediction for you is don't die. For the brahmachari, so many austerities, die now. For the sage, doesn't matter. Wherever you are, you'll do the same. And for the butcher, you're living in hell now, and when you die, you'll go to the same place, hell. So here, it is explained that a devotee, a one who is fully engaged in devotional service, there's no loss. A devotee surrenders his life to the Lord in devotional service, and he performs devotional service with the idea of pleasing the Lord and developing one's loving relationship with the Lord. A devotee doesn't do anything for themselves. This is what it means to be a devotee. A devotee is selfless. We come to Krishna consciousness, we still have many material desires. But never mind, these material desires will go as long as we remain fixed, engaged in devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada explains that there are two types of pure devotees. There's one who is completely purified of all material desires and has reached the stage of perfection. Therefore, he has nothing to attain in his devotional service except to please the Lord. That's his only desire. And then there's those who still have material desires yet. But Prabhupada said, one should make some vow, some promise, that, "My dear Lord, from now on, I'm yours. From now on, my dear Lord, whatever you want from me, it doesn't matter. I'm willing to do that, 100%. I have no independence." Prabhupada said that is also pure devotee. Purely desiring simply to fulfill the desires of the spiritual master and the Lord. And that person will be brought to perfection because of his pure desires. Although still, there is anarthas, some material contamination still in the heart. One does not act on these things. One does not act on it. Or one carefully removes themselves from the propensity to fulfill these desires by associating with devotees and following carefully the instructions of the spiritual master. Because this material world, what is it? It's Dukkhalaya Masastritam. It's a place of suffering. It's a place of misery. It's not our home. We don't belong here. We come here simply because of this thing that is mentioned in the beginning of the purport. Envy. The fall from the spiritual world is the desire to be not the servant of the Lord, but the competitor of the Lord. When the living entity wants to compete with Krishna, that is called material desire that brings one to the material world. Seeing Krishna as one's competitor. This enviousness manifests in so many ways in the conditioned soul's life, living in this material world, trying to fulfill that desire. So, becoming envious of the Lord, becoming envious of other living entities, this is the material world. Prabhupada said, everyone is envious. What to do? But a devotee is satisfied. He's satisfied, why? Because he's going back home, back to Godhead. He's going back to the spiritual world. He doesn't want to stay in this world. He doesn't look for some position in this world that will give him some kind of facility to enjoy. Whatever position he accepts in this world is simply a facility to reach the goal of life, devotional service. That's all. A devotee has, he's a kinchana gochara. He has no material, he's exhausted from material desires, tendencies. He knows through knowledge, through understanding, that this place is not my home. It's a place simply of suffering. So therefore, he gives up this desire to somehow become happy. And by giving up that desire to become happy, one engages fully in devotional service. Therefore, he becomes free from envy. Krishna says to Arjuna in the first sloka of the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, because you're never envious of me, or Arjuna, I teach you this most secret science. I give you this knowledge. Knowledge of the Supreme Lord is given to those who are free from this desire to, what we say, to experience happiness in this material world, which is the facility that makes one envious. Because you can't be happy here. Therefore, one sees others as experiencing happy and feeling that this is what I need to get. Although I am not getting it, it's over there, it's somewhere else, some other position, some other facility. This desire to somehow or other struggle in order to change one's situation in order to enjoy brings about this element of enviousness. Therefore, everyone is envious of everyone, including their own self. That means they're not satisfied with what Krishna has provided for them. But a devotee, he is satisfied. This is one of the principles of devotional satisfaction. Satisfied not simply by not performing, but by performing to the best of one's ability and accepting whatever Krishna gives by way of his mercy in one's devotional service. That's all. Right? Radhanath Maharaj used to always say, what does a devotee need? He needs association of other devotees in a friendly, loving atmosphere. He needs Krishna prasad in order to maintain the body and to feel happy in devotional life. He needs to chant the holy names of the Lord, which is the means for purification of the heart and the perfection of developing one's love of God. What else? And some place to put the body down at night. Right? And that's never a problem, because even the animals have that. Right? Yes? So there is nothing a devotee really aspires for except devotional service. Therefore, a devotee is happy. Whatever the Lord provides for the devotee wants simply wants to serve. Therefore, Prabhupada makes a statement here, very powerful statement. He says, a devotee never hesitates to give up even his own body. So what does that mean? That can be taken two ways. It can be taken two ways. We can take it as that we have to lose our body, the physical body itself. But what that really means is that one doesn't have any concern for maintaining the body. One's simply concerned is devotional service. He's giving everything to Krishna. This body belongs to Krishna. It's not mine. I take care of it only for Krishna's service. I keep it healthy. I keep it clean. I keep it working in such a way. Why? Not to enjoy sense gratification. Because there's no way to enjoy sense gratification. Sense gratification. Yehi spam sparsa dya boga dukkha yonaya evate avanta vanta kunti anateshu ramate bhuta. Krishna says in Gita, 5th chapter, sense gratification is suffering. Intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the objects and their senses. Such activities have a beginning and end, and one who is actually wise, he has good intelligence. Sumedasa, one who's actually wise, he doesn't take part in these things. Why? He engages in devotional service. Therefore, a devotee is willing to do whatever Krishna wants. But Krishna doesn't ask us to give up our body physically, right? It's not like that. In some rare cases, it may be that a certain soul is asked to make a great sacrifice on behalf of the Lord and even sacrifice his physical body. But here it really means to surrender everything. Manaso deho geho yokichu mar arpitu tuapade Nandakishore. Nandakishore, Krishna, everything belongs to you. My body, my mind, my possessions, my facilities, and in case of Grihastha Ashram, my family, my children, my wife, everything. It's all yours. It never was mine in the first place. So how can I claim to be mine now? Just because I'm using it. I'm meant to use it in your service. This is the platform of non-envious. So a devotee is never envious. This quality of envy makes one unhappy. An envious person is never happy. Why? Because nothing can satisfy his envy. Never happy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that this is the root cause of all anartas, envy. In anger, the quality of lust is there. In greed, anger and lust is there. In illusion, lust, anger, and greed is there. In pride, lust, anger, greed, and illusion is there. In envy, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains all the anartas exist in envy. Envy, dvesha and prema. Dvesha means enviousness. A devotee is satisfied. Satisfaction. This is one of the austerities of the mind. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. Devotee is satisfied. He's never unhappy. We may be unhappy. Why? Because we may feel some anxiety that I'm not serving enough, or I'm not able to serve in such a way to please the Lord. Wants to increase the quality of their service, increase the quantity. So a devotee has that anxiety, the anxiety of wanting to make a difference by serving in such a way that the Lord and the devotees will please. Transcendental anxiety. This anxiety is good. It is called divyam. It's transcendental because it increases one's devotional service. Therefore, when a devotee, just like Srila Prabhupada, when Srila Prabhupada would be preaching, he was in anxiety to preach, to bring the message to the hearts of the conditioned souls in such a way that they would be benefited. He was in transcendental anxiety, feeling the suffering of the conditioned souls in this material world. His heart was broken. His mind was unsatisfied because he wanted to make a difference. So that kind of anxiety is recommended. In fact, it is sought after by devotees that the anxiety that brings about the desire to... Devotees never complacent, never, okay, now I got it. I'm here in Chaupati. I'm with so many nice devotees. Therefore, I can relax. Yeah, yes, relax. No, we're never relaxing. This mood of wanting to make a difference, this brings about, we say, increase in devotional service. A materialistic's anxiety is, no matter what they get or what situation happens, there's always something wrong. That's the nature of the mind. The mind is always dissatisfied, right? It's always dissatisfied. Something's not right. Yes? He's not right, she's not right, this is not right, that's not right, this is not right, I'm not right, you're not, God's not right. Why isn't God, why is God doing that to me? He's not right. Yeah, even God's not right, right. Everything's not right. It's the mind, right? You can find fault with Krishna too. Yeah? Conditioned soul does that. Because this, it's a state of illusion, and illusion means bewilderment, and bewilderment means ignorance, and ignorance means acting wrongly or speaking wrongly. So all these things stem from this principle of not being satisfied. A devotee is always satisfied. Here, the Lord is recommending to the demigods headed by Indra that the Dachi, he's powerful and he's willing to make a sacrifice on behalf of you. By you go to him, you ask him for his body, he'll give it to you. Why? Because he's not attached. Of course, as you read, as it goes on, the Dachi doesn't surrender at first. It's not that he's not inclined to, he's testing the demigods and preaching to them and explaining how dear one's body is to oneself. It's explained that the body is more dear than one's religious principles for the conditioned soul. If a conditioned soul is practicing some type of religion, and it's a matter of religious principles or their body, they will keep their body. They will defend that against. But a pure devotee, or one who is situated in knowledge, will actually always, when we say, surrender to religious principles as the highest. Because religious principles means one's good fortune. One's real fortune. How long can you maintain this body? It goes anyway, right? After so many years, it's finished. Right? Prabhupada one time was preaching in Africa, explaining this nature of the body, how temporary it is. And so he asked one young man, he pointed to the man, how old are you? No, I'm sorry. What is your age? What is your age? The man said, Swamiji, I am 22. Prabhupada said, then you are 22 years dead. People say old. But actually, that 22 years of this body is finished. It's gone. 50, 70, whatever the number is, that much is finished. So time is the element that takes everything away, including this body. So one cannot keep anything in this world. Of course, some people think, well, let me be famous. That way after I die, I'll be remembered. And that's my glory, right? Fame. But who, when you die, you're not aware of anything, right? So what do you get out of it? Nothing. Fame. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says fame is the stool of a boar. Boar stool. Recycled stool. The most grossest type of contamination. And people in the material world think, at least let me become famous. That will be lasting. Even though I leave, my name will be continue to be spoken by so many people, and I will be remembered for some achievement. But what do you get out of it? Nothing. Fame in this world means to be famous in a place where everything is, what we say, contrary to the will of the Supreme Lord. Material fame, useless. So a devotee knows that everything is temporary. So every time takes everything away. So we have, what do we have to give to Krishna? We have our bodies, we have our minds, we have our wealth, we have our facilities, we have our energy. These are all gifts of the Lord to be used in the Lord's service. Therefore, there's no loss. Therefore, whatever happens to the devotee engaged in devotional service, it's glorious. And whatever success a materialist has in this world, it's finished. I was just traveling on the plane yesterday. And when I come back, when I'm always traveling either from Bombay or to Bombay, there's so many of these Bombay businessmen. Oh, God. A species of life that has just occurred within the last 20 years. Bombay businessmen. There, some of them are so obnoxious. They're like the new breed of materialists, you know, chasing after the garbage of the West with such enthusiasm and such determination and with such absorption. They're absorbed. And they act like everything centers around that. And I, you know, like, it's like a kind of arrogance that comes with this mood of businessmen. It's just like, and I can't wait to get off the plane. Really can't wait to get off the plane. Because I'm thinking, here's India. These people are born in Bharatvarsya. They have the opportunity to perfect their life. And now they're just chasing head on with great enthusiasm and with arrogant attitudes that this is success, right? Yeah. I mean, when you do something wrong, and if you're humble, then that's not so bad. You can be corrected nicely, and you can be forgiven even for the wrong action. But when you do something in a wrong way, and you're arrogant about it, and you're determined that this is right, despite the fact that it's wrong and useless, that's the worst attitude. Yeah, yes. Ignorance and arrogance both combined together. So this materialistic society now we see and is producing such a species of people where they're just chasing after garbage with such enthusiasm and such determination. It's quite sickening to watch. Yeah, it's abominable. At the same time, you feel some kind of pity. You feel some kind of, maybe I'm thinking, how long will it go on before Krishna crashes it all down with some calamity? Before it gets too far into the level of degradation. It's becoming really abominable. So, but a devotee knows this world, what is it? It's simply Krishna's energy to be used in Krishna's service. Therefore, Dadachi, although he's, by all standards, he's in good situation, he's devoted to the Lord, he's engaged nicely, he's willing to give up his body if that is the will of the Lord. If that is what will bring about benefit, in this case, for the devas. And the Lord has said, the Lord is speaking in these verses that by my desire you will be successful. My desire, and then you will be able to conquer this demon who is actually a great devotee in disguise, Ritasura. Here's an example of really an amazing devotee, Ritasura. Who was he? He was Chitrakitu. But he had been cursed by Parvati to take birth in a demoniac species of life. So he accepted that on his head, became the demon Vitrasura. But his soul was purified, although he had a demon's body. Kind of a strange combination, yes. He was a great devotee of the Lord, but he was a demon. You don't see that anywhere else in the scripture. Even we see Prahlad Maharaj was a great devotee of the Lord. He was born in a demoniac family, but he was never developed demoniac tendencies. But Vitrasura has this tremendous, abominable, horrible, powerful demoniac body. And he's crushing all the demigods in battle. And he's threatening Indra. So in order to keep the universal affairs working nicely, the Lord is giving his blessings to the demigods to defeat this demon. But ultimately, Vritrasura, you see later on that he's happy. He's happy to lose that body. Why? Because he knows by giving up this body, well, he can go back home, back to Godhead. You see in this material world, people, how much they hang on to their body. How much, even now, we see in Western societies, people who are very old, and sometimes they're going to die soon. They get so many, what we say, temporary facilities to maintain their body. They spend sometimes thousands and thousands of dollars on machines and some kind of special care units in order to prolong their life for a few more days or a few more weeks or a few more years. Just recently I was in Mayapur. There was one devotee who was living in Australia. His liver was very contaminated. His whole blood system had been, so he had to every day go on these machines to get his blood purified and taken out of his body and put back in. For years he was doing that. Finally he decided this is enough. And they made an announcement in Sridhar Mayapur that this one devotee, he's now stopping all these attempts to maintain his body, and he's asking for the prayers of the Vaishnavas. He's stopping all this stuff, so give him your prayers. A few days later, it was announced that he had left his body. He understood that, why should I continue doing this? For what benefit? Just for a few more minutes. Let me fix my mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. The devotee wants to maintain his body in such a way that he becomes purified, and then he leaves his body at the right stage. We don't want to give up our body and still have material desires yet. Therefore, we should be eager, as Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj explained in his book, just before, we should die before we die. Die means to die to everything material, whatever's left in our life that is simply keeping us attached to this material world. That we should die to. And then you die to live. We die to live. That is, living means spiritual. There's no life in this material world. This world is dead. Prabhupada was walking along the street one day. He was seeing all these people walking. And he was talking to devotees. He said, you see these people? I see them, they're dead. There's no life. They're dead. They're simply flapping. The body's just bouncing along the road. There's no life. What? Why? Because they're simply absorbed in material activities. And the body itself, it's dead. The soul is life. The body is simply a combination of matter. It's given life by the presence of the soul. When the soul leaves, the body stops functioning. This body is never alive. It's simply an instrument. So, therefore, a devotee simply wants to serve the Lord, purify his life, and then go back home, back to Godhead. So, therefore, a devotee has never hesitated to surrender to the Lord in any situation. In fact, we're always eager to be asked by the Lord through his representatives, how can I surrender more? What else can I do in order to become purified in my devotional service? What else can I do to become more Krishna conscious? That's, a neophyte devotee will be afraid, oh, what else will he ask me to do? What else will I have to do? I gave up so much and I don't know if I want to give up anything else because, you know, it's a gradual process. You know? But gradual means, according to Krishna's plan, not according to one's own plan. That's gradual. That's gradual. So here, devotee, he's happy. Why? Because he has nothing to aspire for material. He simply wants to engage in the Lord's devotional service. And when he sees other devotees making progress in devotional service, or he sees every other devotees getting the mercy of the Lord, he's happy. He's feeling Krishna has so kind upon this devotee, he's giving them so much opportunity for service, so much mercy. He prays. He thanks the Lord that he can also get the mercy of the Lord in the same way. But he's not envious. Why is that mercy coming to him or her and it's not coming to me? Krishna says in Gita, Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dvesas trinat priyan. I envy no one, Krishna says, nor am I partial to anyone, nor I'm equal to everyone. But whoever renders devotional service is a friend in me, and I am also a friend to them. So what Krishna is saying is that according to one's situation and according to the Lord's evaluation of that situation, one is receiving his mercy accordingly. Therefore, whatever happens to the devotee is satisfied. But still, the devotee wants more mercy. He wants more mercy. Mercy is service. That is the mercy. Service is mercy. When you ask for mercy, you're really asking for devotional service. That's really what we're asking for. Or to become purified from some attachment. These are forms that are mercy. What other mercy can the Lord give you? The greatest mercy is to give himself. And he is only gotten by devotional service. So Krishna, his greatest mercy is himself. And his self means through the process of bhakti. So a devotee knows that the mercy of the Lord comes through devotional service. That's all. A devotee is not attached. A devotee is not envious like that. Look at Indra. He's in anxiety. He's a great devotee, Indra. I mean, he has a lot of responsibilities. And also, he worships the Lord in his abode. The Lord also appears there for personal worship. But still, Indra's in anxiety. Is Indra a pure devotee? Doesn't say that. He's got a good position. I mean, he has a position to render great service to the Lord. But still, there's some attachment to his position. This is also something to be considered. Sometimes we think that if I'm in a better position, then I'll become more Krishna conscious. If I'm in a better position to become more Krishna conscious. Become Krishna conscious wherever you are. And then if you get a better position, then you'll be still Krishna conscious. That's the best. Don't wait for some position or some facility or some arrangement to become Krishna conscious. It's always now. Because sometimes even if you get a better position, what does that mean? You still take your same consciousness with you. You still take your same consciousness. And position doesn't mean, it may mean better, it may mean facility to render service in a different way or in a greater way, but it doesn't mean you're becoming Krishna conscious. In fact, we see sometimes those who aspire for position, once they get it, they develop a type of pride and a type of ego that comes with the position. And then that can lead to fall down. So it's not position that is the means for success in one's life. It's simply the love in the heart. One has to develop love for Krishna. One has to surrender oneself in devotional service. That is the best position. Best position is at the lotus feet of the Lord. So we take the lotus feet of the Lord into our heart and mind, just like when we take darshan of the Lord. We simply absorb ourselves in looking at the Lord's lotus feet. That is a meditation. It says, Lord Shiva, even though he is such a great and powerful person, he meditates on the lotus feet of Krishna. He meditates on the lotus feet of Krishna. And by meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord, what happens? On the bottom of the Lord's lotus feet, there's one symbol. It's called the thunderbolt. And when a thunderbolt crashes against a mountain, it destroys that mountain. So the mountain of sins, or the mountain of material contaminations in the heart, can be destroyed by the meditation of the Lord's lotus feet. The Lord crashes his thunderbolt against the devotee's sinful activities and destroys this mountain of sinful activities. So this is the best position to keep our consciousness fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. And whatever service you have, execute it to simply to try to please the Lord and please the Lord's devotees. That's all. That is the perfection of our devotionals. When Krishna is pleased, then the door to devotional service is wide open. When the spiritual master is pleased, there's nothing that one cannot achieve in devotional life. So we try to please. Sometimes we try to become expert in doing our service. We want to be good cooks, good kirtan leaders, good preachers, develop knowledge of scripture and perform our service in that way. And that is nice. That should be done as an offering. But never as a form of ego that will increase our tendency to, what we say, see ourselves other than the humble servant of the devotees, the humble servant of the Lord and the spiritual master. So we perfect our service simply as a to make a nicer and more, what we say, beneficial offering to the Lord and others, to preach, to spread Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, for ourselves, we're simply happy with whatever Krishna arranges. Okay, so it is 9:05. Apoorva, Prabhu? Yes. We're happy to have Apoorva Prabhu here. Apoorva has been in the movement for many years, way back 1971, practically when the movement began. And he's noted for his cooking. When devotees hear that Apoorva Prabhu is going to cook for some festival or some dinner or some special occasion, he does a lot of these things. Everyone knows it's going to be good prasadam. It's going to be good prasadam.
Thank you, Maharaj. You're very generous. Thank you also for revealing this wonderful purport and verse. I have many questions, but I'm just going to limit it to two so that I can give other devotees the facility. The first was, if you could just read the last sentence of the purport. I didn't hear the... Yeah. His devotional service is never...
Hindered.
Oh, hindered.
The word hindered. Okay. Prabhupada says, for a devotee there is no difference between living and dying, because in this life a devotee engages in devotional service, and after giving up his body he engages in the same service in the spiritual world. His devotional service is never hindered. So what you're doing now, you'll do also in the spiritual world, but in the perfectional stage. So therefore, we have to purify our consciousness to be able to be eligible to receive that position. So therefore, devotional service is simply a matter of serving the Lord now, here, or serving the Lord there. That's all.
The second question was, you were speaking about enviousness. And I thought it was really interesting that you said that we are actually envious of our own self. Yeah. Could you say a little bit more about that?
That's mentioned in the Gita. Krishna mentions that those who are engaged in sense gratification, or actually he mentions that in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, those of demoniac nature, they envy the super soul that is sitting within their own hearts. So, in other words, enviousness of their own self is that they're never satisfied for whatever they have. They're always anxious and always willing to commit sinful activities in order to somehow facilitate their sense gratification. So that enviousness extends to the fact that they are also a spirit soul. They are also a spirit soul. And the Lord is sitting in their hearts. So they're never satisfied. Never satisfied. Why? Because they do things to themselves which are harmful. That is the understanding. When one does something harmful to oneself, that is a feature of being envious of one's own self. Just like sometimes in the extreme state, a person may commit suicide. Why? A total frustration, causing not satisfied in life, and therefore simply willing to destroy the opportunity to better their life, killing their own body. So this is a symptom of being always doing something harmful to oneself, to the body, to the soul. So that is a feature of envy. And the opposite of envy is love. And love satisfied, love purifies, love is the supreme position of all success. When one is not performing activities that develop love, one is actually performing activities which are harmful towards themselves. This is a feature of enviousness. Any other questions? Any devotees?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much. Nice lecture. Maharaj, sometimes we have some service which is not of our liking, and at the same time there is danger of getting caught up in it. So at the back of the mind, constantly a thought is there that I should be doing more hearing, more chanting, more association of devotees.
Yeah, we all feel like that.
And but this service is such which demands a lot of time also.
Mm.
So this anxiety is also there.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's so demanding, it takes so much time that it does not allow us to associate, chant, and hear more. So in this particular type of life, a constant anxiety is there, dissatisfaction is there. So how to overcome that?
Well, I think that comes with proper planning. One should plan. Devotional service is not something everything should be planned. Devotee plans their day. They plan their service. They give themselves enough time for hearing and chanting. In some cases, due to certain circumstances, there may be some decrease in hearing and chanting because of necessity of service. But if it becomes a constant thing, where one is gradually losing the opportunity to hear and chant properly, then our service after a while becomes like work, becomes more like a burden, becomes like a chore. So really, you're not actually pleasing the Lord by doing all this, because at the same time, you're taking away from the foundation, which is the basis of all our success, to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. So we need to balance our life. So as far as rectifying that situation, it comes with planning, it comes with consultation with other persons, and seeing how you can adjust that way. Because the process is Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And our service is an extension of our hearing and chanting. The quality of our service depends on the quality of our hearing and chanting. They're reciprocal. Each feeds the other. But if there's an imbalance in our sadhana, hearing and chanting, then eventually our service will become... I give you an example. When I'm out preaching, sometimes I also experience that. So then after a while, if I allow that to continue, then rather than doing my service in a joyful or enthusiastic way, I just feel like I just want to get it over. I do it, but it's just the desire to finish it so I can, you know, get away from it. It's like the joy and the enthusiasm and the desire to make a difference is lost by just trying to get it done. And if we're just trying to get our service done, then we've really lost the proper understanding. It should be done as an offering. And we should also be thinking how to increase the quality of our service. So that comes with good association, with nice hearing and chanting. So our balance must be there. At least we should strive for balance. And as far as, again, the answer is reflect and see how you can adjust, but most important, get advice from others. Because others can usually help you see a situation better than you can. Those who know you. Sometimes we get ourselves into a situation we can't see the dynamics of the situation nor how to make the changes. But others may also, others will be able to help. Get some advice. Okay. All right, anything else? Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much. Question? One more question.
Krishna Maharaj, I have a question that you mentioned in one of the story that one devotee died in Mayapur, was not taking care of his health.
Move your hand off the microphone, that's yeah. It.
He was taking care, he was not taking care of his health and he died because of it. So what should we do our body if we are not taking care of health and we should, I mean, for
we
that...
We should take care of our health.
Yeah.
But this situation was that, you know, he realized that simply to maintain his life under this circumstance was really contrary. I mean, he was spending so much money on this also. It's a waste of other people's money. So that, I'm sure, at a decision like that, you get advice also. But as far as health, is we maintain our health. But maintaining your health doesn't mean that you stop everything in order to maintain your health. Because if you become healthy, haribol. But if you don't become Krishna conscious, that's... So do your service, but also practice it in the proper way. Prabhupada emphasized health, but he also emphasized surrender. So there has to be a balance like that. Prabhupada said three things cause disease: anxiety, overeating, uncleanliness. Anxiety, overeating, and uncleanliness. These three things are the cause of diseases. Try to avoid these three. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.